Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, this Tabernacle Family Church. How you feeling? Towards the front, we're gonna give our God praise this morning. How does that sound? All right. Are we ready? I don't know if we're ready. I know God is ready to meet with us, but I don't know if you guys are ready. Can I hear a shout of praise? Hallelujah. All right, I'm just gonna ask everybody, raise your hands up. I just want you to tell God right now what you expect for Him to do for you in these next 30 minutes of praise and worship. Go ahead and say it out loud. How do you expect God to move in your life? Come on, can I see you clap a little bit? Can you move side to side with me? There we go.
With long life, you will satisfy.
Jesus, come on, start testifying, start stirring up your good faith.
When I call on, you will answer. When I fall, you will raise me up. I'm protected by your shadow. You're so good. You're so good to me. I will praise you forever.
With long life.
With long life. You will satisfy me. You will satisfy me. With long life. With long life. You will satisfy me. You will satisfy me. With long life.
Satisfied. Come on, clap.
Oh, 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 oh.
praise for Jesus.
Come on and give God a shout of praise if you know he satisfies you. Come on and give God a shout of praise if you know that he's alive and he's able. And that he's a good God. He's a worthy God. Hallelujah. And that he deserves it all. Hallelujah. Come on and sing this with me. Let's sing this out. Just sing, you deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Come on and sing that one more time.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Come on and sing my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs.
Come on, I want to hear you sing it out one more time.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, if you truly believe it, sing this out.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Because you're worthy of my praise, my hallelujah. Yeah. It belongs to you.
Sing it out, you.
You deserve it.
Yes, hallelujah.
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 Lord, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I submit to your ways.
Hallelujah.
I submit to your will. Because you're worthy, Lord. And sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you want, yes, I'll do it. Whatever your will is, Lord, I'll go through it. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Repeat after me.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
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 Lift your hands. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
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 No matter what I'm going through, I sing hallelujah. No matter what the doctor says, taking care of me, cause you're taking care of me, cause you're taking care of me. And Lord, I'm on your mind and sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. And all the glory and all the honor.
You deserve it. loud, just a voice to sing. You deserve it. Come on, come on, lift your voice, sing.
You deserve it.
You deserve it. Come on, sing my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
That sounds amazing, right?
My hallelujah belongs to you.
That's my highest praise, God. Sing it out.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
One more time, just sing my hallelujah with everything. Come on.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Hallelujah.
Our hands and tell him how much we love him and just thank him for inhabiting our praises this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for coming down and being faithful and visiting us, Jesus. Thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. And your promise still stands.
Great is your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness. And I'm still in your.
God just grabs you with something. And I wrote a blog this morning, which doesn't usually happen on a Sunday morning. I just like to read it to you. Foxhole conversions, deathbed conversations, death sentence from a doctor report. All these are usually when we call out to Jesus for him to move on our behalf. Understandable, but not optimal for the best results. God's desire is not to be a little Buddha on our shelf that we rub when we need something beyond our capabilities to accomplish. God's desire is that we will need, want, desire him, not just when we're out of control in our lives. He desires to be desired and part of our lives when things are going great and not bad. I would rather have Jesus than anything. More than silver or gold, popularity, success measured by the world. We not only need you, Jesus, we want you. My heart is bursting with the basic need of needing Jesus in my life. And not because there's something wrong, but because he is intimately involved in every day life. If God died tomorrow, would we have to wait till next Sunday to find out? Please, Jesus, put within us a genuine hunger for you. We need you, Lord. We need you more than we've ever needed before. And not because we have trouble, but simply because we want you. We love you and have an ache in our hearts to know you more. Please reveal yourself to us more. We are chasing after you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Psalms 42:1. As a deer pants, longs for streams of water, so I long for you, oh my God. This morning in prayer, I just had this hunger. Many of us want God when we need God. But there comes a place in our life and our walk with Him when we want Him, not because we have to have Him in the aspect of needing, but because we want Him for Him. I've told this story before, but there was a woman named Ma B in Rochester. And she told me a story back in 1986 that's never gotten away from me. She said, I had a vision one night, and in this vision, I was looking upon a sea of people, and I could see the throne of Jesus, and Christ was sitting on the throne. I couldn't see his face, but I could see the beams of light coming, and I knew it was my Savior. She said, one by one, people would go up to Jesus and share their need with him, their need for this, their need for that. And she said, finally, I was the only one. She said, I was the only one standing in this vast room, just me and Christ. She said, I recognized that he was weeping. And she said, Lord, I don't understand. Your children have come to you and they've been before you. And simply he said, doesn't anybody just want me? Doesn't anybody just want me? In prayer this morning, that was what was just driving in my spirit. We can get, God will bless us. God is there and faithful to us. But when was there an ache in our heart that last time it ached so bad in your spirit? You knew that you couldn't make it another step without Christ. You needed him in your life. You wanted him in your life. And you waited till he filled you up. You know, when I started dating my wife, that was before cell phones, by the way, I would make a trip out every day to Lindley from Elmira. I would make my way out, and for the first few months, she didn't even know I was interested. I was just checking out the landscape. And I would go and hang out with her dad and watch her. And then we started dating, and we were together pretty much every day. Man, I couldn't wait to be around her, couldn't wait to hold her hand, couldn't wait to kiss her. She's a great kisser. And time started going on, and it's not that you don't love anybody any less, but sometimes you're around them so much you forget what you really have. You know, I was been reminded the last few days. She was down in Florida, down at the Bishop's, and walking by a table, and some lady just reached out and said, grabbed her by the hand and said, you are so beautiful. And then at the tree farm, the guy walks up and he goes, you are so beautiful. I'm thinking, And then at the mall, some lady, you are so beautiful. It's not that she's not beautiful. It's not that I don't recognize she's not beautiful. But when you're around somebody so often, you sometimes forget what you have. Some of us have been around Jesus a long time. And we used to have a passion for him that we don't have anymore. And he wants to implant it back in our lives. He wants you to want him. He wants you to long for him. I'm talking longing for him. Like a deer panteth after the water brook. That last time that your innards were just not whole and satisfied until you spent time with him. Some of you remember the times in the past. Oh, I had a great move of God 50 years ago, 25 years ago. You remember those times that he had with you. And that's awesome, but God is not just the God of yesteryear. He's the God of today. and you need a hungering in your heart. I need a hungering, a greater hunger in my heart for Jesus. Father, I just pray for us as a family. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can put that supernatural hunger in our heart. You're the only one that can meet that need. You're the only one that can draw us. We ask, Holy Spirit, this morning that you'll start drawing us closer to Jesus, that you start putting a hunger in our heart, that you start putting that desire increased in our life, that, Lord, we won't be able to go a day without talking with you. We won't be able to go an hour without thinking about you. Jesus, I pray that you'll start taking that place in our lives. Lord, you're so important to us. We need you so much. Lord, it's not just that we need you, it's we want you. It's not just that we need something from you, we want you. So this morning we ask that you do that in our lives. And that the greatest thing we'll ever hunger for is more of you. In Jesus' name. And everybody receiving that said, amen. On your way back to your chair, can you tell five or six folks you don't know, I'm getting all I can get from God. Come on, go tell somebody, I'm getting all I can get from God.
HT family, it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Good morning, family. Turn to somebody next to you. Say, good morning, family. Good morning, live stream family. It's so good to come together, worship with one another, build each other up, edify one another as the Bible tells us to do. And so we have some awesome, awesome things happening here at Hess Tabernacle. I want to tell you about those in just a minute. But before we get there, I would love to see how many visitors we have in the house. If you are a visitor, would you raise your hand nice and high? We have a gift for you. We would love to be a blessing to you. So if you're a visitor, lift your hands. Now, on this side of the building, right after service, if you are a visitor, we would love to have an opportunity to meet you and to tell you a little bit about our church, what we believe, and how awesome we are, because we're a great body of Christ. Amen? Right? So we love people. So we would love to meet you. You can have some refreshments, meet the pastors. But again, that's directly after service on the left-hand side of the building. You have a bulletin, so check out your bulletin. There are always awesome things happening within the body of Christ here. But something that I really want to focus on is Baptism Sunday. How many of you get excited about Baptism Sunday? That's right. It's next Sunday, December 2nd. And if you have not been baptized yet, I cannot say enough about the power of baptism. It is not just a public proclamation that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is a supernatural experience. It's a supernatural opportunity for God to bring healing to your life, to cancel out soul wounds and soul ties that you've acquired throughout your past. It's an opportunity for you to leave behind all old things and to really step healed and whole into the new. And so it brings you to a new level in your relationship with Jesus Christ. How many of you can get excited about a new level? That is way too quiet. How many of you can get excited about a new level? Yeah. Remember, it's our hunger that draws on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So Baptism Sunday, next Sunday, sign up at the Hub if you want to participate, if you've never been baptized, or if it's been a really long time since you've been baptized, or maybe you were baptized in a church that didn't teach that baptism was supernatural, then you should get baptized again. It's not a one-time thing. You can get baptized again. I'd like to invite Pastor Rhonda to come up with our tithes and our offerings. She was out loving on people.
Good morning. One of my favorite times is the time that we get to talk about our giving and prosperity. You know, it's one of Jesus's favorite topics. It's the topic most talked about in the Word. But he takes pleasure in your prosperity. That is the whole point of our giving and tithing and our obedience to the Word, is so that we can prosper in every single season that comes. Our leaf won't wither and we'll be fruitful. We'll be like a tree planted. His Word talks over and over about prosperity. Some of the scripture references on prosperity, Psalms 92:12 says, "The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish." It is a promise. When we walk in right standing with God, we will flourish. So there's two keys this morning for your prosperity that God gives you through many, many scriptures in the Word, and that is righteous living and obedience. Righteous living and obedience. Psalms 35:27 says, "Let those who favor righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children." Now listen, you might say, well, I don't really have to apply the principles of the Word of God to my life of tithing and sowing and reaping, because you know what? I'm never going to be prosperous like so-and-so, or it's not, prosperity isn't for me. Listen, the Word of God says over and over that prosperity is for you, for every single one. And you know what's the best? Is when the most unlikely person raises up and walks in supernatural finances and experience prosperity. The Word respecter of persons. So that includes every single one of us. And he takes joy in your prosperity. So are you ready this morning to participate in prosperity? Oh, I didn't even get to the obedience part. We just did righteousness. Let me just read you two scriptures on obedience. Isaiah 1:19 says, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land." And Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Every single one that chooses the keys to prosperity will prosper and be successful. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. It comes out of Deuteronomy 28, and actually verses 1 and 2 also talk about obedience, and it says, "They that observe and do all of his commandments, that they, the Lord thy God, will set thee above on high, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you listen to the voice of God." So this is our supernatural declaration right here in the Word of God. So let's declare, repeat after me, "If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed." Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Lord, you will satisfy me. You will satisfy me with all life. With all life, you will satisfy me. You will satisfy me with all life. I will praise you forever. Only you can
been blessed, and many of you don't know because you don't see him often. This is Corey and Britt Pelton. You don't see them often because he's our media guy, and he's always in the back somewhere. And so they have been with us a year and a half, and they are heading back to Oregon. They're heading back to Portland. Amen. So they leave next week, right? They leave this Friday back to Portland. They've been a blessing to his tabernacle. How many of you enjoyed all the videos and all that stuff? This is he's the brilliant mind, and he is a brilliant mind. Brilliant mind. And he's been able to put them together and bless us. And so we're going to miss them. And we have cupcakes out in the foyer for after service, so you can celebrate with them. But we just want to pray over them. Is that okay as they get ready to go? Rhonda, would you come up? Amen. Father, we just speak blessing over this family in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for lending them to us. Thank you, God, for using his gift to enhance and build and strengthen, Lord, that media department. We ask, Jesus, that as their family goes into the next journey, the next place of God, pasture that you have for them, Lord, that you'll open up the prophetic unctions, Lord, in Corey. And Lord, that you use Britt in any way you desire. And that, Father, this family will just aspire to do the great things that God has planned for them. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just say thank you. Thank you for their gift. Thank you for their persons. Thank you for their family. And thank you, God, for allowing us to have them with us at his tabernacle on the East Coast, God, for a period of time. In Jesus' name, safe travels, safe housing, God, great jobs, Lord, so that they'll just prosper in everything they do. In the name of Jesus, and we all said, amen. We love you, man. Be blessed. Hi. You got great eyes, Brady. I love you, baby girl. We'll miss you. All right? Take care of mommy and daddy. We know that. Huh. Amen. Can you give him a hand clap and say thank you? Really, Corey helped bring the entire media department up a whole nother level. And we've thoroughly enjoyed it. We've been blessed. How many of you have ever heard of David Siriano? Some of you have. David Siriano, he's worked with Disney and some of the other aspects. David will be doing the media from now on. He lives in Florida, so we'll be locating. He's down in Florida, so I have to go down every Monday to make sure that everything is in order. I'm just kidding. So David is going to be doing it from a different location. And Ben Moss, is Ben in the room? Ben Moss is in the back. Ben Moss is going to be helping. He's going to be working with that department. So we want to thank God. Just exciting watching how God just starts using people and blessing people and developing them. And we want to thank Pastor Banfield. Pastor Banfield, will you stand and wave to everybody? How many of you know Pastor Banfield? He's over the men's department. Gentlemen, if you're in the room and have not joined Wednesday nights, then you need to do that. If you'll go see Pastor Banfield, he'll make sure you get connected and get in the men's ministry. We have a great men's ministry, and he's the head of that. He is a man's man. Man's man's man. We call him OG. Amen. Is that right? Okay. Did I say it right? Are you okay? I love Isaiah. Okay, we've had a great year. How many of you, can you believe it's already the end of November? It's just crazy how fast time flies. And I'm excited because we just came off the series about being watchmen. Turn to someone and say, without you, someone's not going to heaven. That's important for us to never forget that God has a plan for your life. That's why you're here on the planet. You're here because God's got destiny and purpose, and that is that you are going to plant, water, and God will bring the increase. Someone's eternal life depends on you and I being faithful to be the watchman on the wall. That sound that God is good and not bad. Everybody shout, I thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's right. It's called good news. And we're the body of Christ. God has called us to share the good news. So we've also started this next one where we get people born again, and you get born again, give your heart to Jesus. But yet, how many people are stepping into discipleship? Now, I want to remind you that God never called us just to be saved. He called us to be disciples. Turn to someone and say, I'm a disciple. What is a disciple? It is a pupil. It is a student. It is someone that's being trained up and developed. God has called us to be disciples in his kingdom. We see this in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, where God says, go make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, we're called to be students or pupils of heaven. Now in that, the verse we're using is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. And it says this, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, that makes me wake up a little bit. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That means there are a lot of folks that are going to church that will call out, Lord, Lord, but are not going to be in eternity with Christ. You see, for many, there is a big shift and a big change that has to happen in the church world. We now have a bunch of churches that preach a lot of things that are not the Bible. One of the things that's imperative is that we stick to the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. My opinion does not matter. A church's opinion does not matter. A religion's opinion does not matter. What matters is the Word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. God life, Zoe kind of life. We know that the Bible declares that the word of God is alive, and God's word is what changes our life. We know that Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that the word, who Christ is, spoke it but also lived it so that we could see it in action. When he died and rose from the dead, he then gave us an opportunity. He said, those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. The name of the
Lord.
The name of the
Lord.
Not the name of just the Savior. This is where the shift has happened in the body of Christ, where the body of Christ looks very little different from the world. We have a bunch of folks that go to church that live the exact same way that their friends do. They go to church on a Sunday morning, and that's beautiful. Thank God you're here. Amen?
Amen.
But the truth is that if there's a change, there's a change. That change comes when you and I stop making him just Savior and allow him to be what he's called to be, and that is Lord. The word Lord is, one of the words is Adonai, or owner, that God has become our owner. The Bible declares it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives. The Bible makes the declaration, in him we live and move and have our being. There's a shift from just having him as Savior. Listen now, I thank God that he's washed my sins away. There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. Jesus made the declaration, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. All of it comes down to Lord. You see, there are many that don't believe in God, not because he's not real, but because the moment they declare he is real, he then declares that he is Lord. Yeah. The issue is that if God is Lord, then you've got to learn how to. Because Lord makes the declaration that he is in control. When somebody is the Lord of your life, that means you've submitted to them. That means that you love them. That means that you've willingly said, my life is yours. Show me how to live. Show me how to walk. Show me how to talk. You see, this is the life that Christ has called us to live. It's not just, hi, I'm going to heaven. I thank God we're going to heaven. If you've confessed Christ as your Savior, you're going to heaven. But yet, if you've not made him Lord, you might not be. And this is the problem with the church. A lot of churches don't want to make people angry or upset. We call them seeker-sensitive churches. They don't want to say anything that's going to offend you. But you see, my problem is I'm not a good seeker-sensitive guy. I would rather tell you the truth, for the truth will make you free, than to tell you a lie and make you feel good. It'd be a horrible thing because the preacher didn't tell you the truth that you woke up on the wrong side of eternity. See, I believe that there's a necessity to be honest. And in that, as a disciple, discipleship is a challenge because it demands a level of honesty to where you and I are called to realign our lives to walk in the precepts and the principles of God's word. So as a believer, the Bible says many will say, Lord, Lord, but yet are not going to go to heaven. So I don't know about you. I want to make sure that I'm going.
Amen.
Am I the only one? I want to make sure I'm going.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says this. Oh, that's right. I said the Bible says this. Not Pastor Spencer. Not his Tabernacle Family Church. The Bible says this.
Amen.
The Bible makes that same declaration. Let's keep going. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, performed mighty miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. So this is a very powerful verse. Now I want you to know this morning, I'm more teaching than I am preaching. But I want a clarity to be in your heart. I want a clarity as a disciple to be very, there should be absolutely no fog. Amen?
Amen.
And that is this. Just because you say, Lord, Lord, does not mean you're going to heaven. Only those who do the will of the Father actually are going to heaven. Now, the seeker-sensitive church doesn't want to offend you, so they're going to say everybody goes to heaven. Everybody, you can do whatever you want, and everything is all good. But I'm here to tell you that's not what Jesus said. Who said? That's not what Jesus said. It doesn't matter what the church says. It doesn't matter what your religious tag was when you grew up. What matters is that you and I do the will of God. What matters is that you and I obey God. Here's the issue. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, if you never make Him Lord, then you'll never step in a life of obedience. If you do not accept Christ as Lord, well, there's no need to obey Him because He got you out of hell, and that's really the whole issue. But that's not the issue. How many of you realize you're not in heaven yet? I hope you all realize that you're in heaven. You're not in heaven yet, which means this, is that God has you on this planet to be a testimony, to be a watchman, to be somebody that others will look at and say, God is real because I can see how He's made a difference in their life. I can see how God has taken them from death to life, darkness to light. I can see how God has taken them and given them hope and given them reason, healed their bodies, healed their minds, changed them. How many of you men, 15 years, let's just say 5 years ago, no one ever thought you would be here sitting here in this building. Amen. That's you. How many would be blown away even about yourself? You would never have thought you would have ever accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. I'm talking like, let's be real. So many of us, people are blasted and blown away that we actually have made a decision for Christ. And our life has made such a change because of Jesus in us. I know I got to sing a song. I'm sorry. I didn't sing it first service, but I feel the need of God. And that is, there's an old Sunday school song. How many of you here are old Sunday school folk? It goes like this. There's been a great. Now, when I say great, you're going to have to shout great. Do you know that song? You're going to come on up here with me? You sure? Okay. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change. Since I've been born, there's been a great change. Since I've been born, there's been a great change. Since I've been born again. And the things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. What's the next one? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I want to get that in your craw. Amen. Listen, we all know that they didn't let me in the choir for a really good reason. That has nothing to do with it. But the point is this, is that there must be and has to be a change in our lives. And right now, when you start looking at Christians as a whole, most people are exactly how the world is. We talk the same way, we live the same way, cuss the same way, drink the same way, do everything the same way, and we invite them to church and they're looking at us and say, what? There is a great change. When we make Jesus Christ our Lord, we are giving Him our lives. And when we give Him our lives, then there is a need for obedience. Where there is no obedience, there is no Lord. And this is the challenge in the body of Christ today, because we're so afraid to offend people. But I'm here to offend you today. I'm here to irritate you a little bit. Why? Because I'd rather be honest and see the genuine reality of my eternity and spiritual life than have somebody lie to me and give me a blanket and make me feel good. Can I hear an amen, or am I? You see, God has a phenomenal plan for your life, but that means we've got to make him our Lord. So the first level or first mark of being a true disciple is that you've made Jesus your Lord. The second mark is that you're obedient. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, and we can be sure that we know if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show they completely that they love him. This is how we know we are living in Jesus. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Now, we all know we're not perfect, amen? If you're perfect, please leave. You don't qualify to be here. We got a bunch of imperfect people, amen? How many of you sinned at least once in the last week? Twice? Three times? Dear God, some of you are lying right now. You're not raising your hands at all. Nobody's perfect. But I love the fact that God has grace towards us to live through and to live successfully for him. But the truth is that when we make him Lord, we're striving to please him, not because we have to, but because we want to. I love, if you've ever read Watchman Nee, he said it this way: as faith is the principle by which we obtain eternal life, so obedience is the principle by which life is lived out. You see, when you really love God, you learn to obey him. If you say you love God, but you don't obey him, then you're not telling yourself the truth. The Bible says very clearly about the heart: the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it but God? So we'll say one thing, we'll actually convince ourselves of something. The Word of God says that too. There's a way that seems right to man that leads to death. We'll convince ourselves of something, but we'll not believe the Word of God. I want to tell you today that we have something so powerful in our lives. It's not another book or religious writ that's set up on the shelf. It's not like the Bhagavad Gita. It's not like the Quran. It's not like any other religious book. This is a book that can be proven and declared that God is alive and real. Those that are ignorant just simply say, it's another book on the shelf. But when you start studying the scriptures, it is impossible to not believe that the Word of God is truth, and the truth shall make you free. One of the founders of Harvard University, Dr. Greenleaf, he came out and his whole goal was to disprove the scripture, to disprove specifically that Jesus rose from the dead. Because if you can disprove that Jesus rose from the dead, even according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, then your faith is in vain. So Dr. Greenleaf, he went on a expedition through education and through archives and historical principles to disprove that resurrection of Jesus, and had a problem when he was done his research. The problem was this: that he proved the resurrection through all of the historical writs, through all of the principles and all the prizes that he found, and then he had to become born again because he proved the resurrection of Jesus. While all other gods are dead in the grave, our Messiah rose on the third day and ascended at the right hand of the Father. You see, today we don't serve a dead Lord, we serve a living Lord. Amen. Amen. We are not ignorant to believe in God, we're intelligent to believe in God. We haven't created or stepped into intellectual suicide, we have actually found ourselves. Because it is absolute ignorance not to believe that the Bible is true. But the reason that people don't want to believe the Bible is true, because the moment they believe it's true, they've got to make him Lord. Which means they've got to... they would rather live their own life, do whatever they want to do, sin the way they want to sin. But the moment somebody actually believes that Christ is Lord, they're confronted with the reality that I've got to make a decision to follow Christ or consciously reject the Messiah, consciously reject the lifestyle of heaven, consciously reject and walk away from God's plans and principles for my life. There's a decision that has to make. There's a crossroads in all of our lives where we've got to make a choice. I'm going to obey God and have life, or I'm going to disobey God and choose death. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you shall serve. Whether you like it or not, we all have a Lord. Some of you, your own Lord. Problem with that being your own Lord, You can't heal the fly. You can't heal the wing of a fly. You don't know really where you're going to be tomorrow. You have plans, but it don't mean you're going to be there. You don't really have any power in your life. So to declare yourself as Lord of your own life, it's a horrific event because you're now recognizing that you are trusting in yourself who you can't trust. But I serve a faithful God who truly is the Lord of all creation, who called those things which are not as though they already are, who brooded over the earth at creation, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. There's a one, he is the one true God, the high and uplifted King of kings and Lord of lords. And him being Lord in our life means that we are living in true success, because when God's on your side, if God is for you, who can be against you? We have to make choices. You know, there's two distinct things when we start talking about obedience, especially in the church world. The first one is called legalism. Has anybody ever grown up in a legalistic church? Legalism is a bunch of rules that are put together, and if you obey all the rules, then you're good enough for God. I've got great news for everybody in the room. You're never going to be good enough for God. Whew. You'll never be good enough for God himself. What do you mean? Well, I'm trying to be good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So this is the great part about our Messiah. Jesus came to seek and to save them which are lost. How many of you were lost, but now you're found? Amen. That means that he came after you. And by the blood, by our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been born again. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, for our righteousness is as filthy rags. But Jesus Christ saw us, loved us. He said, if you allow me to be your Savior and your Lord, I've got a plan for you. Your life will not be running in circles. You'll not be like a dog chasing his tail. I'll put you in the direction. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and I'll bring success to your life. I'll bring fulfillment to your life, because I am God and you are not. Legalism is dangerous because legalism sets up all these rules. If you do them all, then you're going to be good. But watch now. The law was set up called the Ten Commandments. And God said that I've given you a new and a better covenant with better promises, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Why? Because the old covenant had a flaw, which meant this. There's no way for all of us to live perfectly with all of the law. Can I hear an amen? Which simply means this, I can't do it. And if I can't do it, that means I'll never be good enough. And if I'll never be good enough according to the religious rules, then I'm an absolute failure. Now, my wife grew up in a legalistic church where girls could not wear makeup. They could not wear earrings. They had to wear dresses. If they went sledding, they'd still have to wear a dress, but they'd have to wear sweatpants underneath it. How stupid. I went to a legalistic Bible school. The Bible school I went to, it always seems that the attack is on the women. Can I hear an amen or oh my, ladies? It's your moment.
Yes, amen.
Didn't take her long. The Bible school I went to, all the ladies had to wear dresses that went up to their neck, down to their ankles, down to their wrists. They could not wear open-toe shoes. They could not wear makeup. They could not wear earrings. The men had to wear suits at all times and had to have their hair at the top of their collar. Could not be below the collar, because then you weren't meeting their rules and expectations. And a lot of people put those religious rules on people. And I want you to know this, that you can have all those religious rules, but you can't fulfill them. That's why legalism never works. That's why it's called the leaven of the Pharisees. It never works in our lives. What has to happen is we are saved by faith through Jesus Christ, not by works, not by you being good enough, not by you cleaning up your own life. You don't need to clean up your life. God will clean it up for you when you make him Lord and you start to obey him. The cleanup automatically happens. The other thing that gets a little bit obscure is the opposite side of the trend, which is called hyper grace, which says every sin you ever did or will do has already been forgiven, so live any way you want. That God's grace is powerful enough to make sure that no matter how you live, you're going to heaven. And we already read that is not true. There are expectations. Can I hear an amen? And the expectations is obedience. What I love about God is he's never asked anything from us that he hasn't given us power to fulfill. He'll never ask you to do something if he doesn't give you the power to make it happen. God loves us so much, he's not given us something that we cannot obtain. He's always given us enough power to live an obedient life, to bring glory to his name. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
A lot of people like the hyper grace, or what we call the seeker sensitive churches, because they don't have to feel conviction. But I want you to know conviction is very important to your life. Turn to someone and say, I love conviction. What is conviction? Conviction is when you're in a sin, when you're disobeying God, and God's Holy Spirit is saying, don't do that. The Holy Spirit's making that nasty, ucky feeling in your heart. You know that something's out of order. You know that you're in sin. That's conviction. Conviction is the Holy Spirit trying to keep you alive. Can I hear an amen? The Holy Spirit trying to keep you from wounds. Can I hear an amen? Conviction is important. A lot of churches don't want to preach conviction. We want to make sure that everybody's happy. You know, pastors are trying to build churches. Well, listen, I'm not here to build a church. I'm here to build the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. To build a church is really easy. I can build a church very quickly. You ready? We will have a 20-minute song service. I promise to only preach 15 minutes, and the messages will be nice. You don't have to worry about feeling conviction. You don't have to worry about anybody making you feel bad. You'll just come here and you'll leave feeling fuzzy and nice. I know how to build a church, but that's not how you build the kingdom of God. Amen? The kingdom of God is preached, and the word of God is powerful, and it's convicting. It's realigning. It is empowering. It is challenging. And God, through his Spirit, will always make you successful. That is what God has for your life, not just feeling fuzzy. The next thing we have to recognize is simply this, is that if we do God's plan, that we are going to make sure that we protect ourselves, not just for now, but for the future. There was a wealthy man in Haiti one day. He had a house for sale, and the house was selling for $2,000. There's a poor man that came to him and said, listen now, sir, I would like to buy your house. And he said, well, the selling price is $2,000. And the poor man said, I don't have $2,000. After a time of negotiations, finally they came to an agreement. And the agreement was he was going to sell it to him at half off, but yet the man, the seller, was going to keep one thing. He said, I'm going to keep in possession one nail above the front door. So he sold the house for $1,000, but he kept that one nail as his property. Several years went by, and the original owner went back to the man he had sold it to and said, I want to buy the house back. And the man said, well, it's not for sale. So the man went and took the carcass of an animal that had died and hung it on that nail. It wasn't but a few weeks that the house was now uninhabitable because of the decomposition of the animal that was happening out the front door, and he was able to buy his house back at the original price. I want you to hear this. If we leave the devil even one small peg in our life, he will return to hang this rotten garbage on it, making it unfit for Christian lifestyle. We've got to pay attention. This is why Christ being our Lord and walking in a level of obedience is so powerful, because he keeps you safe. You see, I love God. God just wants to keep us safe. He doesn't want to keep us, you know, deathly down. He doesn't want to keep us unsuccessful. He wants to bless us abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. The Bible makes the declaration, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you may have life, and life even more abundant. The plan of God is not that you survive. The plan of God is that you thrive. The plan of God is not for you to feel like a low life, but the plan of God is for you to feel like who you are. I am an ambassador of God. I am born again, washed by the blood of Jesus. I have God living inside of me. And man, I cannot fail.
Amen.
That's the plan of God. But God's plan can't come to fruition if we don't make him Lord and then start obeying his principles.
Amen.
I've learned this, that sadly enough, many believers just simply don't obey God's word because they want to do their own thing. Our challenge is that we're serving not a temporal God, but an eternal God. That we're not temporal people, but eternal people. And that every single person who dies, every human that dies, is either going to heaven to be with Christ or separated from Christ and sent to the lake of fire because their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So this is not a game that we play of religion or religiosity or being a good person. This is you and I actually saying in our life, God, you have chosen me and ordained me that I should go and bring forth fruit and that my fruit should remain. And whatsoever I ask the Father in your name, he will give it to me. That God has called us to this purpose in life and every one of us have divine entity living inside. And that with Jesus living inside of us, if we will choose to live a life of obedience, not a life of rebellion, then we'll start seeing greater success. You know, I've watched people, they look at older Christians and they say, well, you know, I'll just look at, I'm going to pick on Pastor Andrea. If you've been around Pastor Andrea Ogunwumi at any point in time, you recognize that she is a very rich woman. Now, I'm not talking just financially. She's very blessed financially because she's a wise steward and she's a bunch of other things. She's learned how to have what's called many streams of income. But also, she is blessed in her walk with the Lord. Many of you go to her for prayer. You're fools not to go for her prayer. That woman walks in the anointing. She has the power of the Holy Ghost. Man, she moves in deliverance. Man, she is just a powerful prayer warrior. I just love being around Pastor Andrea Ogunwumi. She is a rich woman. They look at her and say, well, you know, she's this way because, you know, she's been in the gospel. Listen now. She is this way because she's learned how to obey God, even in the middle of hard times. When you get around her life and you start hearing her story and her testimony, it's not one of all roses and beautiful flowers and everything was peachy and she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. This is a woman who sat back and said, I know God and I know God's principles. And even in the midst of hard times, I'm going to fight through. I'm going to declare that God is good. I'm going to live an obedient life. And because of that, she is who she is. You don't have to be many years in the gospel to be very successful in the kingdom.
Amen.
You just have to learn how to be obedient. You see, we learn to obey the word of God. If God's word says it, it's so.
Yeah.
If God's word says it, it's so.
Yeah.
This is the challenge because the word of God is challenged in today's society. And because most Christian churches are not teaching you apologetics, we just simply don't understand that the word is truth. Or we know the word is truth, but make a conscious decision that we're not going to obey the truth. And in either decision, the issue is that when we don't know that the word of God is truth, then the truth cannot make us free. And if the truth does not make us free, then we cannot be free indeed. And if we cannot be free indeed, then we are controlled by something or someone, and somebody else is going to be Lord over our life. Remember, anything you love more than Jesus is your Lord. Whatever you're willing to trade God for is your Lord. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I've watched people exchange Jesus because they wanted to be Lord. I've watched people exchange Jesus for money. I've watched people exchange Jesus for a girl or a guy. I've watched people exchange Jesus for even marriage. I've watched people exchange Jesus for so many foolish things that at the end it's not going to make a difference. Who is your Lord? And who do you obey? See, it's not just the written word that we have to obey. It's the spoken word we have to obey. Whether you realize it, the spoken word created the written word. How about when Moses went up on top of the mountain in the book of Exodus? God spoke the Ten Commandments and Moses wrote them down on tablets. Can I hear an amen? We know that according to 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You see, God is speaking to us every single day. God's speaking to you even right now. Every one of us have things in our lives that need to be changed. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And God is speaking to our hearts. We know what it is. No one has to show up with a flashlight. No one has to have a blinking beaker. We know in our own hearts the things that need to be transformed. We know those things that we are not obeying God in. And God, by His Spirit, is saying, I'm speaking to you even this morning. I want you to transition this, not because I'm trying to steal fun from you, because I want to keep you safe. I've told this story before, but there was a young boy in a church I was a youth pastor in. This father was kind of really intense. I'm talking like really intense. He had a 4 to 5 year old child. And anytime he spoke to this child, if the child did not respond after the first speaking, he would correct that child, usually a spanking. And I was a youth pastor. I actually thought it was a little bit over the edge. But he lived on Church Street, and I finally heard a story that really just helped me a lot. The child ran out of the house one day as they're getting ready to go down the road in the family car, but the child sprinted out of the house before the father got to the door and was heading to Church Street just after the light on Walnut. The light had just turned green, and a bunch of cars, this was back when it was one way, were running down that road, and you know, coming off that light, you don't go slow. You're cruising down the road, and that child was heading right for the street. The father said, stop! And that child stopped on a dime. If not, the child would have run in the road and got hit by the cars. The father, who I thought was being a little harsh and a little over the top, actually saved his child's life. Some of us don't like what God tells us to do and not to do, but He's doing it to save our lives because He's a good Father and He loves us. This is not religion to Him. You are not a religious number to Him. You're His kid. You're His baby. And he wants you to be the most fruitful. Listen, I've never met a parent that said, I want my kid to be a failure. I disciplined my children. And at times, man, it was really tough disciplining my kids. But I disciplined my children because I wanted them. Here's one of the main principles I did to my kids. Pastor Chad got a spanking at the age of 17 years old. I never allowed disrespect in my house, ever. The moment disrespect was brought forth in my house, I immediately disciplined it. Why was that? Because I saw as a pastor and as a person in the community, all the people that did not learn respect didn't get very far in success. Had a hard time keeping a job, had a hard time keeping a family, had a hard time, and they became very lonely people old in their life. Why? Because they never learned how to honor and respect other people. So whenever I saw dishonor, boom, immediately there was discipline. And I remember one time Pastor Cody came downstairs. Now he was big still back then. Came downstairs, my wife and I sitting on the couch, and I said, come on downstairs. He came downstairs and I said, I want you to do this. And he postured himself. And I remember Mark Bishop saying to me one time, he said, one day those boys are going to challenge your authority. And at that moment, I realized he's challenging my authority. And I realized he can beat me up. And I sat on the couch with my foot on the hassock. And I looked up at the kid and I said, listen, kid, if I put my feet down, I'm coming up. And you might beat me. But you're going to wish I had died before because I'm going to whoop you. Now, listen, I was scared. I was scared because I know he could whoop me. But I thank God that I taught him all those years. You know what he did? He backed down because he learned respect. I remember when Pastor Chad came in the house one day. He was 6'2". I'm 5'9". He stood in my dining room and he said, don't tell me what to do anymore. I'm old enough. Don't tell me what to do. I said, you're 17. You're living in my house. You use my toilet paper. You use my pillow. You got my water. You flush my toilet, not your toilet. I said, you're going to do what I tell you to do. I'm not doing what you want. So I heard Mark Bishop whisper in my ear again. And I took my glasses off and handed them to my wife. And I knew I'm going to get whooped. Because he could whoop me too. And my wife said, no, no, this is too much. I said, I will never allow disrespect in my house. And at that moment, he backed down. I said, Jesus. But both of them had been taught from the very beginning that disrespect was never allowed in my house. Why? Because I knew that if it was ever allowed, these kids would never be successful. They would always never come under the Lord. If you can't obey the God you can see, you'll never obey anybody you're else under. And guess what? Both of those boys are very successful. Pastor Chad's in Ithaca right now preaching to over 100 people. And a church that we took over with 15 not even a year ago. Pastor Cody has a youth ministry of 125. He's a known speaker, and they're asking him to speak across the different parts of the United States of America. The uproar is taking off. God is moving in dynamic ways. How is that possible? Listen now, that's possible because I was their Lord. And they learned how to obey. And therefore, success was brought to their life. Listen, obedience is not drudgery. Amen. Obedience is safety. Amen. The world teaches if you got to submit to anybody, that is wrong, that is bad, that is oppressive. But I'm here to tell you, if you learn how to submit unto God, the God of creation, the God that loves you, the God that died for you, he said, greater love had no man than this, that he laid out his life for his friend. You've got a God who gave his all just for your soul and my soul so that we can be called sons and daughters of the Most High King. And he's saying this, if you learn how to obey me, this is a mark of a true disciple. If you learn how to obey me, if you obey my word, obey my spoken word, obey my written word, I will always keep you safe and blessed. I will work for you and not against you. I will always make a way where there is no way. You create an open heaven. The second mark of a disciple is obedience. And those that don't want to obey, man, that's just your choice. But when you don't want to obey or you choose and pick what you want to obey, I'll end with this. I didn't do it, but I had on the notes, I was going to have the big whiteboard up here. And I was going to put up two math equations. And I was going to have Pastor Obi come up. He didn't know that. And I was going to bring somebody else up who I'd already told, don't do normal math. Do it the way you want. So what would happen is he would get up there and he'd do a big division clause and it would come out, the answer would be correct. And then the other person would just do the law whenever they wanted. They would just do that math problem however they desired to do it. And guess what? They wouldn't get the right answer and they wouldn't pass. Passing is everything. Because you can't go to the next level until you're past your last one. And some of us have been stunted because we won't obey God how he's instructed us. And we're wondering why our walk with God is getting stale. It's not getting stale. It's you've chosen to be the Lord of your own life. And I challenge you today as your pastor, as I've stepped out in faith, to tell you the truth. If you learn, we learn how to obey God, we will be so successful. The world will stare at us and we'll have opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. Amen. If we choose not to obey, then there's no way that the world is going to say, why are you any different than I am? I don't want to see just the church grow. I want to see God's kingdom grow. I want to see people that when they get saved, their life is transformed. That everybody's going to stare at them and say, I can't even think. You go to church? You go to church? Man, why don't you cuss the way you used to cuss? Why aren't you drinking the way you used to drink? Man, I liked you even the old way. Come on now. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? If you hadn't, that means you're not changed enough. Come on now. If you're living in sin and you know it, and you're not willing to obey God, then you've got to ask yourself this. Is he really my Lord? Or am I my Lord? This is the shift that brings us from today's Christianity that has no impact. Let's be honest. Most churches have little to no impact at all. To be in a body of Christ that's going to cause a rampage in this region. That people are going to say, listen now, I don't understand it, but I got to know what you know. Listen, I don't understand, but I've watched you change. I've watched your life be transformed. I don't know. Is it because you go to church? No. It's because I know Jesus. Because he's washed my sins away. I've made him Lord of my life. And I'm walking in his ways. The verse simply says this. Ready? And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we carefully and consistently keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, habitually seeking to follow his plan for us. 1 John 3:22. Great things. I want you to know I only want great things. I want to succeed. What is true succession? Fulfilling God's reason for my life. I want him to look at me one day and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want my dad, my father, to be proud of me. And I love him. God's done things for me that nobody's ever, ever thought of. He's so good. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church or join a religion. I want you to know Jesus. The Bible says that Christ came and died on a cross so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. When our sins are forgiven, then we have the right to be called children of God. Today, I want to ask you this simple question. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you have not asked him to be the Lord of your life. You have not put him in headship of your life. You've not had your sins forgiven. You're not sure. If you take your last breath today, you'll go to heaven. And you want to make sure. Today, I've got great news for you. Jesus said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him to the dead, you shall be saved. Today is your shifting day. Your tipping point. Your transformation opportunity. Today, if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'd like you to raise your hand right up and say, I want God. I want Jesus to wash my sins away. I want him in my life. Is there anyone in the room this morning? I'm not going to wait real long. I'm going to actually do a countdown. Here we go. Come on, get your hand up. 5. Thank you, ma'am. 4. 3. Come on, get your hand up. 2. Last call. And 1. I do that because that might be your last one. That is truth. That's not fear-mongering. That is truth. We all know somebody that died before their time, and none of us know our time. I'll ask one more time. I'm not even going to count to 1. If that's you, raise your hand up. You want Jesus. You want to secure your eternity with the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Today, I know, is a little bit heavy, but I want you to know that our design and desire is to make you great disciples that will please our God. Amen. Father, we make a declaration today that we are not our God, you are our God. We make the declaration that we are not our Lord, you are our Lord. We make the declaration, Jesus, that you are not just our Lord, but Lord Jesus, we choose to obey you. God, I pray that the body of Christ right here at His Tabernacle Family Church will be a people that will run after you, not seeking your hand, but seeking your face. Not people, God, that just want to get something from you, but God, they want you to control their life. Lord, I thank you that you are so powerful and that your word is so true and that you have great success for us. So, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that each one of us will walk as a marked disciple, that we not only have you as Lord, but have you as our King, and we are obedient to your words. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you that they're true. Yea and amen. Not one jot of tittle shall pass away before it's all come to completion. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the praise. Bless our day, God. Let us have a great time with our family. And Holy Spirit, every time you convict us, we promise to obey, respond quickly in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The prayer team's coming around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, please make your way. Could I encourage the individual that raised their hand for salvation or rededication? If you'll make your way up front, meet me right up here. We want to pray with you, get your Bible, encourage you and strengthen you. We love you. Have an awesome day. Serve God with all of your hearts.